What is up, everybody? How's it going? Thanks for listening. This is Doug Pistorius. I am the Zennial Aviator. And wow, episode 5. This is pretty awesome. Thank you guys very much for listening and tuning in. Once again, as always, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave me a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate it, especially if you love the show. If you don't love the show, please do that anyway. Please be a bro. I would really much appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and put my offer out there that I've put out before. If you do so, if I know you and you leave a 5-star review, I will hook you up with either a free beer or coffee of your choosing. I have no shame in buying votes. If you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, please go ahead and start following me on the socials. I have all my information in the show notes. Also, if you would like to maybe be on the show or you have a suggestion for something, hit me up either on a DM or you can email me at thezennialaviator@gmail.com. Either way works, just get a hold of me. So this episode's going to be a little bit different than normal. I'm going to be rolling solo this time, but expect a few of these here and there in between. I'm going to try to switch it up some. I'm going to do some interviews. I've been enjoying doing that, but I'm also going to do some solo content as well. With that said, I'm really excited about today. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about Yacht Rock. For those of you who don't know what Yacht Rock is, don't worry. I'm going to do a deep dive in it here today. I'm going to explain it, the background of it, talk about some of the people involved in it, and I'm going to give you, at the end, my top 5 Yacht Rock albums, just to kind of give you an idea of what I think is the quintessential Yacht Rock sound. So pour yourself a drink, get ready for the sun, and stick around. We're about to go sailing. All right. First and foremost, as I get into this, I just want to prefix this whole episode with, I do not have any sound bites for this. I do not have the money to pay for licensing, nor do I really want to pay the record companies an egregious amount of money for the sampling. So all the songs and albums I mentioned today, you can totally find on iTunes, Spotify, what have you, however you're listening, or go to your local record store. That's what I recommend. I love me some records. Me and the wife have quite the extensive collection. And for the most part, as long as you're not paying hipster prices, you can usually get some pretty cheap. So that's my recommendation. But anyhow, let's get into the meat and potatoes. So I think first and foremost to start off, it seems like from my Facebook poll, most of you guys might have heard of what Yacht Rock is, but let's talk about what is Yacht Rock. So Yacht Rock is a broad tongue-in-cheek category of music. It's mostly associated with soft rock, some slight jazz melodies, and a hint of folk rock. It saw its initial peak of popularity in the mid-1970s to the mid-1980s. So if you think about it, it's almost like the bridge of folk and the bridge of rock kind of meet together, and it varies on that spectrum. Some of your songs are going to be very mellow and folky, and some of them actually rock out, even though they're considered yacht rock. It was initially mostly known as Southern California rock due to the affiliation of the prevalent artists in the genre, and we'll talk about those, and you'll see why that is. But aside from just loving the music, it really does fit right into the Zennial generation with those year groups. Or, I guess, to be more obtuse about it, this is likely the music most of us were probably made to. And I'm going to leave it just at that. So after the mid-1980s, Yacht Rock fell a bit dormant. It wasn't until the mid-2000s that the term was even coined. This is thanks to a hilarious YouTube video series, also on Channel 101. It was a streaming website. I'm not sure if it's around still, but it was called Yacht Rock. So back in 2005, a couple guys, J.D. Reisner, Hunter Stair, and Lane Farnham, started a very tongue-in-cheek video series, ended up making 11 episodes, and basically this comically is a mockumentary that parodies all the interactions of famous Southern California artists in the late 1970s, early 1980s, and how their lyrics and antics created the songs we know and love. And it even jokingly shows how Yacht Rock sparked gangster rap in popularity whenever it goes on one of the episodes to talk about Warren G and Michael McDonald collaborating on the track Regulators. So if you've never heard of the series, I highly recommend that you go take a listen to it. Go on YouTube. You can YouTube Yacht Rock video or Yacht Rock series, and the episodes will come up. They are hilarious. So I guess before we go any further, it's probably important that I explain to you why I love Yacht Rock so much and what it means to me. So obviously, as a Xennial and a child of the 80s and 90s, I grew up hearing these songs on the radio because it's what my parents listened to going to and from school or going out and about. Obviously, we didn't have streaming or anything of the sort back then. Also, in the 90s, you would hear this music in elevators. So while growing up, I obviously never knew what the genre was or that there was a genre at all, but I always did seem to notice there was a stark similarity in a lot of these songs, and they all featured different artists, but somehow they all seemed just a little bit similar. It wasn't until later on and really learning what Yacht Rock was that I learned about all the connections with Yacht Rock, and that further makes this genre of music very interesting and just really a lot of fun to learn about. The 2005 YouTube series really drove this point home for me, and while all those stories in that are purely parody and not based in any truth whatsoever, it does very much display the small circle of artists and songwriters in Southern California at the time and in that music scene and how they leaned on each other for moral support and other things in more ways than one. Ultimately, Yacht Rock to me is very chill and mellow music. It very much fits the style of person I think I am for the most part. And once I realized what it is and that there was an actual genre of this music, I started to actively seek it out and listen to it. This was probably about the mid to late 2000s, right around the time I discovered the series. And once I learned about this, I start to really notice that Yacht Rock really reflected my life at the time, as well as beforehand, and I started to grow a really deep attachment to the music. So first, when I found it in the mid-2000s, just to give you an idea where I was in life, I just got out of the Navy. I just finished up my enlistment. I was enlisted, I think I mentioned in the intro episode, from 2000 to 2006. I decided to go back to Tampa. I didn't know what I wanted to do at the time, and honestly, it was a little bit foolish because I didn't have a plan, which is what I really emphasize on my sailors nowadays, and really anybody else I talk to, like colleagues who are getting out of the Navy. Make sure you have a plan. Make sure you have an idea what you want to do, because luckily I was in my mid-20s, so I had time to flex, but it really did, I feel like I might have wasted a few years of my life, but no regrets. I'm happy with where I'm at now. Anyhow, so I got out of the Navy and I was going back and forth between school and work and what I wanted to do. Finally, I kind of got my act together and realized that hanging out with my friends wasn't my priority at 25, 26. So luckily, I got a job, really good job with the FAA, started working there, and I started to go back to college and just really take it seriously this time and not just try to join a fraternity and party. So while I was studying, I would always throw on Pandora, or while I was writing papers, I was a political science major. Slowly, my Pandora playlist would evolve into basically the quintessential Yacht Rock playlist. And it was purely by accident or just subconsciously. And thank God for that, because that's what I credit really to helping me mellow out my beta waves and really get in the zone to write lengthy papers. I know a lot of my pilot buddies are engineer majors or STEM majors, so it's always funny whenever people cringe, especially some of my buddies who haven't gotten their graduate degree yet, when they have to write lengthy papers. It's not their cup of tea, sort of how I am to math, but I just kind of laugh. And my recipe for writing a good paper, just give me a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea, throw on some Steely Dan, give me couple tracks, and I will get in the zone. I'll write you a 20-page paper in no time. The other part of Yacht Rock, once I learned what it was and I started to really listen to the music and really reflect on the lyrics, was I started to reflect on my time when I was enlisted in Southern California. That's where I was stationed most of my time from circa 2000 to 2003 or four. And honestly, I was pretty miserable at the time. I was, 18 to, the second time I got there, I was 21, 22. It wasn't too bad, but as an 18-year-old kid in Southern California, there's not much you can do. Unfortunately, especially in San Diego, all the clubs and bars will not let you in unless you're over the age of 21. Unless you're a female, then they would totally let you in at 18, no problem. So I spent a lot of time sitting on the boat, going to shopping malls, and just really driving around. And songs like Bob Seger's Hollywood Nights just really struck at home for me when I'd be sitting on top of a hill, eating a California burrito, and just looking at the sunset and realizing, man, it's a beautiful place, but this just really sucks being here all by myself. Not to mention, I didn't really have that great luck of women at the time, because most chicks weren't trying to really talk to a guy who lived on a boat and pretty much lived out of a coffin locker and a car. So there's that too. Additionally, later on, while I was out of the Navy and while I was going to school and working, I did find myself into a long-term relationship where me and the young lady lived together for a while. It eventually didn't work out, so we ended up breaking up, and Yacht Rock once again helped me and pulled me through that, especially hat tip to Donald Fagen's The Nightfly album, which is also used to be my Discord name. It's an amazing album. We'll talk about it on another episode. It has a bunch of great tracks. And once you learn what Yacht Rock is, I think you'll have a great appreciation for it. So what really defines the style of Yacht Rock? First and foremost, we need to get this out of the way, and we need to make this very abundantly clear. Jimmy Buffett is not Yacht Rock. No matter what anybody tells you, it's bullshit. Don't believe it. Jimmy's music is associated with having a good time, partying, the beach scenes, Margaritaville, all that good stuff. But you'll understand a little more once I explain it to you that in the Yacht Rock community, Jimmy Buffett is very much looked down upon, and it's not considered yachty. And for those of you who's playing at home, yachty is spelled Y-A-C-H-T-Y. So the term yachty, I think it was coined by J.D. Reisner, the creator of Yacht Rock. Later on, whenever he launched his podcast, it was a term that he would commonly use to rate songs and artists and how they would measure up to the spirit of Yacht Rock in the creator's eyes. They would do a bunch of episodes. They'd call it Yacht or Not. So let's talk about that. What really defines if a song is yachty or not? It's mostly subjective, obviously, because we're basing this opinion on three dudes who created a show based off of Southern California rock. But now that there's been a very cult following to it, I think everybody kind of has a rough idea, or there's just commonly associated themes with music that will allow you to realize if something is yachty or not. So in my opinion, here are some of the telltale signs if a song is a yacht rock song or not. First off, it's probably from the era of the mid-1970s to mid-1980s, like we discussed. So it's going to be in our zennial era. There's probably something to do in the lyrics about sailing, the sea, a boat, Southern California, or the Pacific Coast in general. Apparently, yacht rock does not exist past California, which is why Jimmy Buffett kind of gets disqualified, because a lot of his music is about the Caribbean and Florida lifestyle. Still love you, Jimmy. Number three, a smooth melody ranging with the soft folk rock to light soft rock with a few exceptions. Like I discussed before, this was kind of the bridge of folk rock to soft rock, but there are a couple songs, and we'll talk about them here in a couple minutes with my favorite albums as to the exceptions where yacht rock can go a little bit hard, let me tell you. And number four, you have lyrics that deal with A, making love, example, How Much I Feel by Ambrosia, B, enjoying said sailing, sea, or boat, or the Pacific Coast. Sailing by Christopher Cross. C, A Lost Love or Breakup. What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers and Kenny Loggins. D, You Have a Lot of Tongue-in-Cheek Innuendos, usually dealing with sex, drugs, or a combination of both. Rock stars of this one, Steely Dan, especially in the song Hey 19. And then finally, Taboo Subjects. Probably the award for the creepiest song most people have ever heard. Betty Mardone's If I Can Fly, about a grown dude trying to hook up with a 16-year-old. The video is even creepier too, by the way. And finally, what really kind of embellishes the yacht rock, yachty spirit to it is, although these lyrics, they all deal with normal people seemingly or troubled people, just the sound and the lyrics combined, they invoke a feeling of being on a boat or enjoying a sunny California day. They ultimately have a very upper class feel to them, very snooty, talking through your teeth kind of feel. But yet we all find ourselves enjoying these songs. So for me, my ideal vision of yacht rock, whenever I think about a lot of these songs in my head, is usually close your eyes and it's 1979, a late afternoon on a Sunday in the spring or summer, probably around 4 p.m. where the sun is just, it's just hanging there still, but it's not too blistering hot. And you're on a yacht in a marina at Camino del Sol, which for any of you who know is Southern California area, and you're listening to some AM gold on the radio or the advent of FM radio, or you're spinning some vinyl or listening to some 8-tracks in the deck house, sipping on a cocktail or a gimlet, because even though I do love beer, I'm going to be the first to tell you it is not yachty. It's definitely got to be a cocktail or even just a straight vodka in the glass. But you're sitting there enjoying some music, libations, and that incoming sunset with a small group of all beautiful people. And that seems to be the requirement, apparently. But that's what I have in my head when I hear some of these songs. So now that I've kind of given you my definition or my idea of what yacht rock is and what it invokes and what I see whenever I think of yacht rock, let's talk about some of the notables here. Every time people talk about yacht rock, there are a couple staple artists and groups that are constantly mentioned. Among them, you have Michael McDonald, the father, Kenny Loggins, the son, Steely Dan, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just kidding. Just kidding, Mom, if you're listening. And you have Christopher Cross. Those are kind of the four horsemen of yacht rock. There are plenty, plenty others. We'll probably talk about some of them here coming down. Also talk about some in other episodes. This episode, I really just kind of went and hit the baseline and the foundation of yacht rock. We can really get into some deep cuts in this genre, and I love to talk about music. So there will probably be another episode about this, just to give you a heads up. But these four artists, they're sort of the pillars of yacht rock sound with their mellow sounds about love, life, and the open sea. And it's important to note that there are famous groups who at one time or another you may not have thought of as yacht rock. They dip their toes in that warm, smooth waters of yacht rock as well. Most notably, one of the coolest, I think, yacht rock songs from a not considered yacht rock band is from the Beach Boys with their 1973 hit Sail On Sailor. If you haven't heard it, it's a great song. Go take a listen. So in regards to a top five of artists, that's really hard for me. Honestly, putting these guys and gals in any sort of order whatsoever is extremely difficult. And like I said, I have a lot of favorites to this, but if I had to give you a top five, it's probably in this order, and it's not too crazy of a differential between number five and number one. But number five, I got Bobby Caldwell. This is the smoothest dude you will ever hear in your life. And if you have no idea who this is, try not to look up his face. Go listen to the song Do For Love or Coming Down From Love. Both amazing songs from him. And get back to me. Leave a response. Let me know if you think this dude is black or white. I'm going to give you a hint. He's definitely not a brother. but he has the smoothest voice in the world, and he's been very much mistaken for one. Number four, you got Boz Scaggs. Boz really, for having the Chicago sound, as you will, he is well respected in the yacht rock community just due to his heavy jazz riffs and his very strong baritone voice. He has a lot of great songs, a lot of great tracks, and we can definitely get into some of his deep cuts in another episode. Number three, you got Rupert Holmes. You probably don't know this guy by name, but I guarantee you most of you have heard the song, the Pina Colada song. That's him. And his one and only album is a yacht rock story all in itself. Has a lot of deep cuts to it, but the Pina Colada song just really is, it's a staple classic. Number two, I have Michael McDonald. I love Mike. I love his songs. I love him with the Doobie Brothers. I love him as backup. Anything Michael McDonald, I'm definitely on board for. And number one, you've probably already heard me talk your ear off about him already enough, but I love Steely Dan. So that's my top five. All right. So top five yacht rock albums. I really felt like using top five songs would have been too much of a deep cut for me because, once again, there's so many songs I love in yacht rock. And honestly, I've gotten to the point that I hit really deep cut tracks. And I want this to be an intro to yacht rock, like I explained before. For those of you who don't know yacht rock, or for those of you who need a little bit of education to it, I want this to be a baseline. And then later on in another episode, we'll dig deep into the deep cuts. I promise you that. But in my opinion, these are the top five yacht rock albums and why I think that. And when I say top five, I mean this as, I guess, the top five baseline, which basically is the foundation of yacht rock, because there are plenty of other yacht rock albums that are stellar and they're actually built upon these five albums. So think of these as the baseline, and we'll definitely talk about the other ones in another episode. So number five, I have Kenny Loggins, The Night Watch. Came out in 1978. This is Kenny's second studio album away from Jimmy Messina. Before that, it was Loggins and Messina for quite a few albums, and they actually had quite a few hits on a lot of those albums. One of them was pretty yachty, Vahivala. It's what I put on the Instagram teaser for this episode last week. So what's important when we talk about these tracks is, as you can see, and as I mentioned before, this is the start of connections with these people. Everybody seems to know everybody in the yacht rock genre. And with The Night Watch, you're going to see that. So first off, notable tracks, you got Down and Dirty. It's got a rock and R&B feel to it. It's very dirty and gritty, but Kenny just still keeps it smooth with his lyrics and with his wonderful voice. It's a nice, smooth feel to it, even though it's pretty much a down and dirty rock song. Next, you got Whenever I Call You Friend with Stevie Nicks. So, first connection right here, we have Stevie on the lyrics. Kenny Loggins actually opened up for Fleetwood Mac on their Rumors tour. So, this is where they met initially. And Stevie was just blown away with Loggins and his lyrics. And she said, hey, anytime you want me on an album, let me know. So, Kenny called in the favor for this song. Additionally, the song's awesome because it's written by Melissa Manchester. And if you don't know who that is, she wrote the 1985 hit, You Should Hear How He Talks About You. Great 80s song. We could totally talk about 80s songs in another episode, and we definitely will because I love 80s music. And then you got the next track, What a Fool Believes. This is the Kenny Loggins version. Most of you have probably heard the Doobie Brothers version, but this is the Loggins version, which came around the same time, but this is a prime example of how the same song can have a different feel depending on who it is. Kenny's is a more upbeat and pick it up and go, move about your life from a breakup, whereas the Doobie Brothers in Michael McDonald's voice, it's more remorseful, soulful, and you can almost feel like there's regret in that song. For album number four, we got Christopher Cross and Sailing. This dropped in 1979, and More Michael McDonald for you. Notable tracks for here we have I Really Don't Know Anymore with Michael McDonald. He does some great backups for it. I'll Never Be the Same, one of his hits from this track. Ride Like the Wind, even more Michael McDonald. And, of course, the definitive yacht rock song, Sailing. Just a smooth, mellow melody throughout. Coming in at number three, I have the Doobie Brothers' 1978 hit, Minute by Minute. This time, Kenny Loggins is coming to help. So, huge tracks on this album. This was also, I believe, Michael McDonald's second album with the Doobie Brothers as lead vocalist. So, he was just crushing it, and Michael McDonald owned 1978, for lack of a better term. First track on there, it's Mike's version of What a Fool Believes. Like I mentioned before, this song's just pure fire, and it's just heartfelt soul. Comparatively to Kenny Loggins' upbeat, nice and rocky version of What a Fool Believes, this one invokes just the heartbreak and sorrow of a breakup, and definitely the regret of a foolish individual, and you can just hear it in his voice. It's probably more so because Mike wrote this, most of this song, I should say, due to his first divorce. And you'll see a common theme with a lot of these songs. They're written either about drugs, the ocean, divorces, or love. I guess that's initially where Taylor Swift gets her inspiration from, though, right? From breaking up with boyfriends. Anyways, next notable track on there is Minute by Minute, which is the titled album. This is another soul for breakup song, and this one really hits a tune with me because it reminds me of my time in Southern California, where I did break up with a girl right before I left and I headed home to Tampa. We dated for quite a bit, and it just kind of came out of the blue. So, ironically, I heard this song on the radio probably a day or two later, and it just, the lyrics started to just really stick with me. And then finally, we have Depending on You. This is a nice, smooth, fun, and optimistic song, which shows the positive side of yacht rock. They're not just all doom and gloom and talking about heartaches. There are some nice, positive, uplifting lyrics in this and letting you know that friends are there for you. Coming in at number two, my all-time favorites, we have Steely Dan and the album Gaucho from 1980. Steely Dan's probably arguably most famous album was from 1977, Asia. Has a lot of great tracks on it, but Gaucho is really the staple and really set them into yacht rock fame, I believe. And it really just embodies the yacht rock spirit with a lot of their tracks. Additionally, this was the last album that Steely Dan was going to put out together as a group, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, in about 15 years. They didn't get back together until the mid-90s due to Walter's excessive drug use and Donald Fagen's very OCD style in the recording studio, which there's a lot of hearsay stories, legends that go around about how very meticulous he is about sessions. You see a lot of connections in this album as well with a lot of yacht rock singers and additionally a lot of other famous vocalists as well. Michael McDonald did a lot of backups for Steely Dan throughout the years, and he really crushes it in these. But additionally, we have Patty Austin on a lot of these lyrics as well. So with the first track, we have Babylon Sisters. It's a great, smooth yacht rock track. It invokes the vision of Southern California once again, and just nice and chill. One of its probably most profound lyrics comes towards the end. It's about a guy who's basically dating two girls at once, and the girls know each other, so it's a really weird love triangle, some 70s stuff for you, but one of the lyrics that just really hits you is, it's like a sundae in TJ. It's cheap, but it's not free, and I'm not the man that I used to be, and love is not a game for three. Just really kind of hits with the, once you have the kind of melody to it, it's a really deep song, but Patty Austin is backing up on that. And if you've heard of Patty Austin, she was credited with a lot of R&B songs, but one of her most famous songs is Baby Come to Me from, I believe it's 1984. Next, one of my all-time favorite songs is Hey 19. this whole song is about the taboo of being involved with a younger woman, where the gentleman is probably in his 40s or 50s, and there's a lot of culture differences. The second verse really just sets it home with him saying, hey, no, that's Aretha Franklin, but this chick doesn't remember the Queen of Soul. She has no idea who Aretha Franklin is at the time. And he talks about how she thinks he's crazy with the things he says, but he's just growing old. Additionally, like I discussed before, Steely Dan is the master at tongue-in-cheek and witty innuendo songs. At the end, they talk about the Quavo gold and the fine Colombian, and basically how at the end of the day, no matter how crazy this chick is or how old he is, apparently cocaine and tequila makes everything better for everybody back then. And the next track we got's The Glamour Profession. I really like this track a lot too. It's very upbeat and it's got a very nice poppy beat to it, but it invokes the image of the late 1970s and early 80s in Hollywood. And it's talked about from the eyes of a drug dealer, basically, and how he's getting calls from LA scumbags to basketball stars to Hollywood big shots, and how he's just going all over the town. And it's a glamour profession. It's a really cool song. And finally, we have the title track from the album, Gaucho. This one, it's very lost in translation with what it's about, and it's very open to interpretation. Some people say it's about one of Donald Fagen's friends openly having a taboo homosexual relationship. Other people have said that it's about Walter Becker's excessive drug use. Either way, it's a great song, and it very much has that nice flow and a little bit of that folk rock feeling that you find in a lot of these songs. And number one on my list of top yacht rock albums, wait for it, you're not going to see this one coming, but Fleetwood Mac's Rumours from 1977. So I know I mentioned earlier that Fleetwood Mac very much is yacht rock, but unintentional or not, this entire album, it embodies the vibe of the late 70s Southern California scene, as well as it gives a very yachty feel all around. And it's based in a lot of heart and soul by the songs written. So this is coming immediately off of the stellar self-titled album Fleetwood Mac back in 1975, which included newcomers Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham to the lineup, who were previously just a songwriting duo. They put out their own album as well before. It's all right, but they didn't really get too good until Fleetwood Mac, in my opinion. But this album is a living testament to the crash and burn of like close relationships and really the aftermath of close proximity with each other. Basically, it shows that as social relationships, Fleetwood Mac was falling apart and they were in some dire straits. But to their credit, as a band, they all clung together and professionally crushed it and became one of the biggest acts ever. That's definitely shown within the track list. And just to give you an idea of, I guess this is the down and dirty. And if you want to read more about Rumours, there's plenty of it on the internet. And I think people have even written books about this album, but just to give you the down and dirty really quickly. So Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks were in a relationship. From what I understand, they broke up roughly before Rumours started recording, but they stayed together in the band because for professional reasons, and they were loving the gig. Well, I think Lindsey Buckingham was a little butthurt about the situation. Stevie Nicks was kind of moving on about her life and starting to live a life of a rock star. She dated Don Henley let's be honest about Stevie Nicks here for a second. Stevie Nicks has pretty much been all over the place in the late 1970s, so I'm not going to bother naming off names of lists, but pretty much you name the famous rock star, Stevie Nicks was probably hanging out with him and having some relations in one way or another. It is what it is, and that's the 1970s. She was having fun, but notably, Don Henley from the Eagles. And what really was rubbing people the wrong way, especially Lindsay, was whenever she was starting to have relations with Mick Fleetwood, the leader of the band, as well as the drummer of the band, who was also married at the time, by the way. So that caused a lot of emotional turmoil and waves throughout the group as well. Additionally, you had John McVie and Christine McVie, also members of the band, who were going through a divorce as well. During this time, Christine McVie was screwing around with one of the stagehands, which is also where one of the songs comes from on the album. Oh, and in between all this, there's a lot of cocaine and there's a lot of alcohol involved as well. So obviously you can see there's judgment that is impaired beyond belief, but either way, it made for one of the most stellar albums of all time. So notable tracks on that. First off, we talked about the back and forths between Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. Starting right off the bat, you have Secondhand News, which is written by Lindsey Buckingham, which is a total jab to Stevie Nicks, just basically saying, hey, you just tossed me away and you're on to the next one. Stevie Nicks lashes right back with her song Dreams and talks about how players only love you when they're playing. And that's a stab towards Lindsey. It then goes on to a bunch of amazing other tracks. Go Your Own Way. It's a rock song, not really yachty, but it definitely has that vibe. The Chain, I do consider this a yacht rock song just due to the beat, the flow, and the lyrics involved in it and how it's about depending on one another. You have the song You Make Loving Fun. That's the one I was talking about, Christine McVie and the roadie relationship. And then finally, you have Gold Dust Woman. It was written by Stevie Nicks, and it has to do with basically how she was having trouble coping with fame and Hollywood in the scene, and additionally how she became addicted to cocaine. So it got pretty crazy from there. And obviously Fleetwood Mac went on to make some more albums, and yep, that's history. So ultimately, as you guys can see, yacht rock and the music really fueled the scene for the late 1970s into the early to mid 1980s. Like I said before, these albums that I listed off, I consider these the foundational basis of yacht rock. Like if you were to tell somebody who's never heard of yacht rock before, hey, listen to these, this would be a good baseline. There are definitely plenty of other artists and other songs I'd love to talk about. Honorable mentions for this episode: Robbie Dupree with Sail Away, Toto with quite a few yacht rock songs, The Captain and Tennille, I love them to death, and there's plenty of others. So we'll definitely talk about this in another episode. We'll get into some deep cuts, but like I said, this is definitely the baseline for starters. But yeah, ultimately that's my top five for you. And that's going to do it for today. I'm going to keep this a little bit short because, like I said, I'm not interviewing anybody. And I figure you guys can probably take about 40 minutes of me rambling on anyway. Anyways, I really hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm going to leave some links to the songs and the albums over in iTunes on the show notes. If you haven't heard any of these, please go check them out. Or if you just like a little refresher, go listen. They're all nice and smooth. And once again, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you guys very much for engaging on the socials. Please, if you haven't done so already, go leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It'll take you no more than 30 seconds. And additionally to that, please tell somebody else about the show. I really need those numbers to get up so I can beat one-handed crocheting with so-and-so and the How to Do Your Taxes Correctly podcasts. It would really it'd really be huge to me. I'd really appreciate it. But other than that, appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you very much. See ya. He was eyeing my disease just like a nun. He was dolphin, yes, he was a lung run. His hair cast like stone. His
Bishop was left home. He claimed to be the best. He insisted that we play some chess. As the evening shades, his gambit like a groan. Slide by night between two interpoles. Smiling silently, his bishop takes my